It is time for the March edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we are going to be welcoming in the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, Mike Crane, who will answer your questions and respond to your feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio. What is on your mind when it comes to Wisconsin Public Radio's programming and operations and other services? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and welcome.
It's always good to be here.
Mike is here just about every first Monday of the month, depends sometimes on vacation schedules, and he usually is here to share some news with us about Wisconsin Public Radio, but we in particular want to hear from you. What questions are on your mind? What feedback do you have about what you hear or what you wish you could hear, or other questions about the services and operations of Wisconsin Public Radio? Well, I know that we just finished our winter membership drive. Mike, how did that go?
It went great and not so great, and I'll explain. We had set a goal of $775,000 for the, I guess it was 9 days or so of the pledge drive, and we fell about $100,000 short of that for the final dollars. And you might say, well, how can I feel good about that? Mm-hmm. Here's the really interesting thing, and we're still trying to make sure we gain a full understanding of this. We're really still meeting our annual goals for member fundraising. And what it appears to be is that that emphasis that everybody has heard us make on sustainers, the people that make the monthly gifts, is really working. And so simply fewer people seem to be calling in a pledge or making the web pledge during the pledge drive. But overall, the dollar goals are being met, or we're even actually a little ahead on the year. So in terms of completing our fiscal year June 30th. I feel very good about that in terms of our fundraising. And what I hope it will mean is that we decide some ways to become even more efficient, maybe a little bit shorter still with pledge drives to make sure that, all of the different methods we use for fundraising work out. We for a good number of years now, we've talked about that idea of more programming, less on-air fundraising. And I was scanning through some of the listener comments that we get through audience mm-hmm. services, and no surprise, there are some people there who said, well, why do you have to do pledge drives and so on? And I think, and people certainly comment on this, that as competition for people's ears and attention and so on keeps increasing, getting better at pledge drives and making them shorter is probably going to be a very important thing for us to do. And so that is something we're focused on.
Well, that is good news. But if I'm understanding this correctly, because more and more people appear to be doing these monthly installments and it's automatic that they don't have to renew unless that they're not calling in.
Sometimes they'll call in and ask to raise their monthly pledge, and we can work that out. Or lower it, although usually it seems to be raised, or to stop that, and they can do that mm-hmm. as well. But one way that I've learned to talk about it is that there are a good number of listeners who you might think of as pledge drive responsive, meaning we go on the radio, they call in. And they might do so every time we have a pledge drive. And the sustainer plan helps them to just know that they're taking care of it. And long term, of course, we'll see, but the number of people that are signing up for the sustainer plan certainly is outstripping our expectation. And we have made, as everybody hears on the radio, we've made quite an emphasis on it. But it's gratifying to see that that part is working very well.
Well, speaking of money, the state budget was revealed last month, at least the proposed state budget. Do we know specifically how this treats public broadcasting?
That's right. And it is it's the budget that Governor Walker has proposed. And in it, there are a couple of cuts here and there in some of our budget. There are a couple of places where things might go up. And so without knowing how things will finally come out as the legislature deliberates, what I would say is that it feels like state support for public broadcasting in Wisconsin is solid, as it has been from both sides of the aisle for many, many years. And we're hopeful that that's exactly how it will shake out as the budget continues, and it counts for about 20-25% of our budget in a typical year. So it's a big deal. You might think of the state as our biggest major giver, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important to us.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. He's the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, here to talk with you about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have a different person hosting At Issue in the afternoons on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike, so what's the plan there?
Well, John is sort of think of him as a long-term substitute while we figure out the future of our afternoon programs. And anyone who's listened knows John's an able radio host and was really ready when Ben decided to move on. John was ready to step in. And actually, I think the next couple of days he's off. But
Rob Ferret's filling in for
right.
John Munson.
Yeah. John's going to fill the seat for a while. And one of the things that we're working on is that even before the news of the change in hosting, we had been working on an idea for a new afternoon show and trying to evaluate, you know, how is Q doing? We had a lot of comments about that last time. And so one of the things we're thinking about is maybe Q goes on a little bit later in the evening. And we're thinking of this new afternoon show. And with the change, we're thinking maybe we'll take on the new show for the entire afternoon. So that's what we're considering. Might still be called At Issue. It might be called something else. It might include many of the elements of At Issue. But what we're doing, and I think this is very exciting, is we're asking the question, if we invented the Ideas Network today, how would it sound? Might be very much like what we're doing now. Might be a little bit different. I think that we're inspired by the things that we notice on other shows around the country. And for instance, some of the changes that have been made on Talk of the Nation over the years, that sometimes they do a couple of topics in an hour and that kind of thing. That's worth looking at because one of the things we do know about people's lives in the afternoon is that they're very scattered. You know, in the morning, you get up, you get ready, you go to work, or whatever it is your regular routine. But in the afternoon, maybe you're running this errand or that errand to a different place, or you're stopping at the grocery store, or, you know, fill in the many blanks. And we think that that offers an opportunity if we maybe shift topics a couple of times more in the course of an hour for people to get some complete thinking and still in depth and lots of conversation, but maybe a little different than in the past. So we're thinking about that, and certainly something we can talk about here. And I expect we'll hear from people that talk at WPR about it and so on.
So what would you like to hear during an afternoon show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio? You can give us some feedback on that, possible tweaks to the at-issue time slot, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, speaking of programming, let's go to Stanley in Augusta. Hi, Stanley.
Yes, hello. Once upon the time, Wisconsin Public Radio, back in the days when Ben Marins did a business show in the evening, had a wonderful car program. It was decided to replace the wonderful car program with a really good comedy program, which has now become old and dated and barely talks about cars. A couple weeks ago, I listened to Car Talk, and there was not a car on there newer than 1988.
All right. So, what are the plans with Car Talk, Mike?
Well, in the short run, we're going to continue the broadcast and see if people still like it. But it's no secret Tom and Ray are retired, and so I know exactly what Stanley's getting at. That not every program is going to have really, really old cars, because they are using not only the more recent archives, but even things that maybe didn't make it to air. One of the things people don't necessarily know about Car Talk is it's actually a call-out program, that you call into that number, yes, but the way that they assembled it is that they would pre-record maybe an hour and a half and then edit it to the hour that we would hear on every Saturday. And so with Tom and Ray retired, that means that it's all repeats for the moment. And there are many programs like old-time radio drama that are all repeats that seem to be very successful. So we'll see. I'm very interested to hear from others as well as we consider that in the long run. Here's one of the challenges. It's, as of today, still one of the most popular shows on WPR, and there are many people who have never heard even the things that are repeats for others, and people love Car Talk, so it's an interesting question.
Thank you for the call. Let's go next to Robert in Lake Geneva. Hi, Robert.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, the program Q, you know, initially, it didn't really grab me, and the more I listen to it, the more I like it, and so I've become a fan of it. My question is, how long do you guys listen to or wait to hear response or make your decision as to whether or not a show or a new commentator is going to be viable? And secondly, as far as the topic, religion, nothing more divisive than that. I thought there would be a lot of good conversation there.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thanks, Robert, for the suggestion and a really good question about how long before we decide. And there are a couple of rules of thumb, and that's all they are, because certainly every situation is different. But the pattern that seems to have developed in public radio in my years in it is that you'll give a program, unless it's an unmitigated disaster, and that does happen. But typically, if it's a syndicated program like Q, which comes to us from the Canadian Broadcast Corporation, by the way, you'll give it a year or so, because that's the period of time during which people's patterns can set in. You can take a look at several cycles of the Arbitron ratings. It used to be that for some public radio stations, you'd only get ratings once a year in the spring ratings period. And so the survey would be conducted in the spring, and you wouldn't really know until the fall what the results of the survey were. That's changed a little bit now with modern technology and a thing they call the personal people meter, that we receive information about those from the Milwaukee area. The rest of the state is either twice a year or sometimes four times a year for those Arbitron surveys. And we look at the audience services comments and so on. And I would say, just to speak to Q, that the jury's very much out in terms of what people think. That I couldn't put a for sure 50-50 on it, but I would say that the general impression I have is that there are people who like Robert, has kind of grown on them, or they really liked it from the start. And there are other people who say, oh, I just don't get why you have that program. Couldn't you put it on at a different time when I don't have to listen? And so that's a factor. The other factor that we're thinking about is that we might prefer to have a WPR program at that time that's live and local and that sort of thing. So we're thinking very seriously about that as well.
Thanks again for the call. Mike Crane is our guest. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he joins us once a month, usually the first Monday of every month, for Mondays with Mike, when he answers your questions, responds to your feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio. Do you have some for him? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Tomorrow at this time, it's another edition of On Your Money with Kevin McKinley. We'll have information and advice on your personal finances, On Your Money, every Tuesday between 8 and 9. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with Mike Crane, who is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Speaking of On Your Money, Ron in Manitowoc is with us. Hello, Ron.
Thank you. Good morning. Kevin is an interesting individual and adds a lot to our knowledge, although he has one or two main items, and it's usually borrow as much as you can for larger items in your life. A couple times this year, there were alternative guests, and one was a Miss Quinn, I believe. She was related, had a relationship with ARPS, and there was another gal who had just a lot of good information, and I'm wondering if perhaps 2 weeks, a month or so, other experts in the field of financing could be brought in, mutual funds, real estate, estate planning, et cetera. And I'm wondering how other listeners feel about this. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ron.
Sure. Thanks for the comment. You know, there's sort of two different things that we think about with any topic. And I mean, money is obviously, just as Ron suggested, a really broad set of topics. And one of them in terms of radio programming is that it really can be an advantage in terms of helping people to listen, to have familiar voices come back as regular guests, as Kevin is. And that's a Tuesday feature that we always have. On the other hand, it can be really good to rotate people and topics, because we also always want to be introduced to new experts, new authors, all those kinds of things. And it's a balancing game. It's one reason why when Kevin is here, we do stay on money, because we know that there's just so many good topics to cover in that area. So thanks for the suggestion, Ron.
Yeah, thanks very much. I'd be curious what other listeners think, too. As Ron mentioned, we do have other financial guests who come on when Kevin's not here, and during other hours of the day.
Larry Miller's show, especially.
Yeah, Larry does. And we had the Ultimate Cheapskate was on during a different time period with us.
Yeah, you know, so. During the pledge drive, I remember.
Yep. So be happy to take more comments on that. Susan in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Susan.
Hi there. I have an idea for an afternoon program, and it actually fits in well with your potential objective of doing more short-term answers or different topics. But my idea is to have a fact-checking hour. And I really believe that you would have enough material to work off from the past day's news. And I think it would be something that could very easily go national, because there is such disparity between the sound bites of the Republicans and the sound bites of the Democrats, and who's telling the whole truth and who's misleading the public by their statements. And I think it would be fascinating to have that be a regular program.
What an interesting idea, Susan. But I'm wondering, I'm just curious, do you want it to be a full hour, or would a 15-minute segment be adequate? We're talking about shorter segments.
Unfortunately, in today's world, I think you'd have enough material to do a full hour. The reason I think it would fit into your objective is because you'd be covering a lot of different national comments or regional comments that people would be interested. It's like, oh, yeah, I heard that last night, and I wondered how they came up with that figure. And then that would be over, and then it'd be a different fact that they were checking from another program.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure. What it's reminding me of, Susan, is there's a feature that I've seen in the Journal Sentinel that is from PolitiFact. And so it may be that some of the folks that work on that would be good guests for that, because they're probably already doing that research as to what they have, the different ratings, you know, partly false, pants on fire.
Pants on fire is my favorite.
For some reason, that always makes me think of the movie Snakes on a Plane, which is a strange stream of consciousness. But Susan, thanks for the thought, and we'll pass that along to the folks working on the new show.
Thank you. Pat in Duluth is with us now. Hello, Pat.
Hi, good morning. I would love to hear in the afternoon a program that would make people more aware of all the animals, especially birds and some pollinators that are in decline. And many of them are birds and insects that we love and that are quite common. And so if we could talk about plants and habitats that they need. And many of those are also in decline. And so I just thought that would be so, I mean, it's a little bit depressing, but I thought it would be so interesting to make people aware, because I think we take a lot of our creatures for granted. And right now, I don't think there's time to do that. And so if the guests could just let people know how they could help and bring it into awareness even, that would be my suggestion. Uh-huh. And we love Wisconsin Public Radio, and thank you so very much for your work.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for the call, Pat. Good suggestions.
Yeah. And just so you're you're aware, Pat, I know that Larry Mueller's show every Wednesday between 11 and 12:30 focuses on the environment, some sort of, and a lot of times it is on wildlife and native plants and all sorts of things.
Yeah, well,
like that.
And of interest there, Joy, is that one of the things that they've really talked actively about in terms of this possible afternoon show is that there are many times experts who we already know who are on another show or, you know, sometimes like we do some of those things on your show, too, like when Sean Johnson's your guest on Mondays, that here's someone who his very job is to study and communicate about what's going on in the legislature. And so we have the opportunity to gain access to Sean. And there's probably lots more of that, some of whom might be on the radio with us now, some who are going to be new to us, and it's kind of exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I could see, you know, like, for instance, Scott Craven, who's a regular wildlife ecologist who's on with Larry once a month, could, you know, conceivably be on.
Yeah,
or
Scott may know someone really great different to talk to as well.
Yeah, great. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our March edition of Mondays with Mike. Mike is here to answer your questions about all things Wisconsin Public Radio, be it programming or operations or other services. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Is there any special programming coming up, Mike, this month?
There always is. In fact, it's kind of hard to remember to communicate all of it because there's just so much that goes on at WPR. One of the things that I'm excited about because it's highlighting young people is that on Thursday, March 14th, at the Capitol Theater at the Overture Center in Madison, there's a live broadcast, but we're also going to have it live on the radio at the same time. So if you're in the Madison area and you can go, I really recommend it. And that is the Bowles Young Artist Competition and the broadcast we call the Final Forte. And, you know, it's funny, you can get as you're around music all the time, sort of like, oh, yeah, they're really great, blah, blah, blah. These are incredible young people that have an opportunity to perform typically a concerto segment with the Madison Symphony Orchestra. And their stories are told as a part of the broadcast, and they're truly gifted individuals. They've gone through this whole competition that's the Bowles Young Artist Competition that the Madison Symphony does. And there are these kinds of competitions all around the state. This happens to be one that we have a wonderful partnership with the Madison Symphony on. And so that's March 14th. I encourage you to be there at the Capitol Theater if you can, or be there in the audience if you can't. And that's that'll be that evening.
Yeah. And I know there will be also some political specials coming up in terms of there are races for state Supreme Court justice and for Department of Public Instruction, the superintendent of public schools in the state of Wisconsin. The actual general election is April 2nd, but we will have candidate forums inviting all of the candidates in those races to join us to answer your questions. And that'll be, they're not all set in stone yet, but it'll be later on this month that we will hear from those candidates. And we also are working on the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll. And we'll be talking about all sorts of issues and getting some public opinion on issues. That is set for release March 21st and 22nd. At least that's the tentative release date.
Yeah, that's a wonderful opportunity for WPR to sort of get the pulse of the state and then to share it in news reports and in talk shows and so on, and we really value that opportunity with St. Norbert's.
Well, let's see. Let's take more of your calls, and we'll go to Joel in Green Bay next. Hello, Joel.
Well, hello, and thank you for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener. I have to admit that I am a fiscal conservative, but a social libertarian, and although I know Saeed very well, who's a frequent caller to your program. I'm a competitor, but I generally like what he has to say. My question is this, and I believe that you are very fair as far as you can be with having differing opinions presented on your programs, but it's the bias of the hosts who, although they try as hard as they can, it's just human nature that once in a while their opinion is going to sneak out. And the question is, why is there nobody in the UW system who would be, who is a fiscal conservative who you could put on as a host?
Well, I understand your question, Joel, although I think fiscal conservative would be only one flavor of conservatism. And what we try to do with our hosts is to have them always be aware of whatever internal biases they may have and be sure to be inclusive of other opinions through the callers, through the guests they invite. I think we should be clear. We're human beings. I'm sure we fall short at times, and you've pointed that out. And I am glad to say that generally people have the same impression you do, that we're doing our best to be fair. I think the challenge that I would find if we were to identify, say, a political viewpoint as a litmus test for hiring, that we'd get into question, well, have you put a liberal host on? Have you put a conservative host on? And I really think our goal is to put on hosts who are willing to ask questions of all sides. And that's just a maybe a different viewpoint. But there really is radio out there that's available for people that are very conservative and they want to hear just conservative hosts. There's lots of that out there. I think our role is different. And the same with liberal. There's liberal talk radio. Not as much as conservative as it happens at the moment, but it's out there. And again, not our role. Thanks, Joel.
Yeah, Joel, thanks very much. One of our Facebook followers did post that he did have a question and feedback for you, Mike, for this show, but I won't take his call because he's conservative. Oh. What does our call screening policy say about whose calls get on the air and whose don't?
Let's talk about call screening more generally, mm-hmm. and get at that. The purpose of call screening is not to keep people out.
Right.
In fact, the general process, and anyone who's called in knows this, is you call in, you talk to someone who's not Joy in this case. It's whoever's on staff. I can't turn around.
It's Amanda.
Yeah, it's Amanda today. Hi, Amanda. So Amanda will ask you an initial question or two, basically just to try to help you to merge into the program and one hopes get on the radio, because mm-hmm. usually we get even more calls than we can get on the radio. And I remember years ago, Terry Gross, who does the show Fresh Air that's on the other network, she said that when she does her interviews, she finds people really have that crisp answer to her question the third time they say it. And so her show happens to be very heavily edited, and we really hear the best answer because of the way they edit it. And I think that's sort of what happens with call screening, that you have the question, you're ready, and you call in, and then you ask the question of Amanda in this case, or the comment. And then by the time you're on the radio with Joy, you've gotten to that third time. You've kind of refined the question. And, sometimes when we're calling into the radio, we might have a bunch of questions, and Amanda will help to direct that as far as how is the show is going. So that's the basic idea. And we really are interested in getting all viewpoints on it. It doesn't serve us well as citizens to only hear one side. And so I know for a fact, Joy, you're not excluding people based on their biases or anything. If anything, we want to try to be inclusive.
Exactly.
Of that. So,
exactly.
So that's the basic idea.
Our next caller is Bill in La Crosse. Hello, Bill.
Hi. Hey. Hi. Good morning, Joy. Mike, I have a question about an article I read in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about Ben Maron's retirement. I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it said that he was going to be on staff for, I think it was something like 6 to 8 weeks to tie up loose ends.
Yeah, that's right.
Are we paying for him to tie up all his loose ends?
Well, yes, of course. That he has an annual contract, and the contract's almost up. So that's exactly right. And it's work, so that would make sense.
Thanks very much, Bill,
yeah,
for the call.
Yeah, thanks, Bill.
Matt in Madison. Hello, Matt.
Hi, how are you doing, Joy?
Good, how are you?
Doing well. So, yeah, I was wondering if there was any plans to include like a film program, sort of something similar to Director's Cut, which is on Wisconsin Public Television, that would interview local filmmakers and discuss their upcoming films, something that has a tie to Wisconsin, if it was filmed here or the directors from Wisconsin, and then the people could call in and ask that person questions.
Yeah, I we should certainly add that to the list of possible topics, especially for the afternoon show, but for any show. Interestingly, Matt, Terry Bell had pretty much the same idea on the News and Classical Network and has, in fact, had some director's cut interviews that aired during Morning Edition. I don't know that we'd thought to also put it on the Ideas Network, but it's certainly worth talking about.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. This is Mondays with Mike. Mike joins us the first Monday of every month to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio and to answer your questions. What's on your mind regarding Wisconsin Public Radio programming, operations, services? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up after 9, it's Kathleen Dunn and All Things Political. Next topics include the federal budget cuts that are due to the sequester, immigration reform, and the latest on foreign policy matters as well during All Things Political coming up in our next hour. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, during this March edition of Mondays with Mike. Jim emails, it's great that Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is repeated on the weekend for those of us who can't catch it in its first time slot. Could you please do the same with Says You? Sometimes I can't listen during its time slot on Sunday morning. So what about that, Mike?
An interesting suggestion. Sunday mornings are just really gangbusters in terms of people that like to do fun with language and ideas and so mm-hmm. on, because there's Says You and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and Away with Words, and it's just a really fun morning, and a lot of people tune in. Repeats are a question that comes up almost every time we're on the radio together, Joy. We're always torn. Some things like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which is exceedingly popular, are things that we've repeated.
Mm-hmm.
But others not. And one of the questions that we feel is even more pressing these days is, with all of the alternatives that are out there, are we wise to repeat things, or would we be wiser to put something fresh on the radio every single hour?
Right.
We're torn. Thanks for the suggestion.
Let's take another call. Now, Mary in Merrimack. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. I'm a longtime listener, and I must admit I'm a political junkie, but I would like to have some poetry. I think I remember Jean Ferracco at her first show when she used to have Molly Peacock on, and people would call in with poems, and it was just very refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Mary. I know Jean really had a touch with such things, and her show way back when was actually considered a humanities program.
Mm-hmm.
And so poetry was a big part of it, and reading and books and so on. Probably the most likely place, thinking of our host, where you'd find poetry right now would be on Fridays between 9 and 11 with Veronica Rickert, who really is drawn to some of the same kinds of topics as Jean was, and so we'll be looking for those things. But it seems like something we should keep coming back to. You know, we have Poets Laureate in our state, and many gifted writers that probably would be fun to have on once in a while.
Seems to me Kathleen Dunn did have the new Poet Laureate on her show not that long ago.
That rings a bell, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This, with 8.5 hours a day of call-in shows, it can get to be a blur as to all we've done. But
and don't forget the Vicars of Vegetables on Larry's show. They do their vegetable haiku, too.
That's true. I'm not always sure how wonderful that poetry is, but it can be fun. Thanks for the suggestion.
Thanks a lot. Amy in Appleton is with us. Hello, Amy.
Hi. My suggestion, which would be a great service to the state at large, would be to have a program that would talk about art gallery openings and different art situations that are happening throughout the state, being that some of the smaller galleries that are not in major cities don't have the advertising dollar to cover the state.
Thanks very much. Just so you know, Amy, it's not every week by any means, but we do talk about art and art galleries and art gallery nights and things like that during our Friday 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. show where it's Tell Joy Where to Go, and we talk about places to visit in the state and fun things to do in terms of arts and culture and entertainment and that sort of thing. It's not exactly what you're looking for, but a more arts-focused show, maybe.
Well, yeah, well, that's certainly one of the topics we've talked about for the afternoon show as well. And one of the reasons is that, you know, I know as I guess you'd call me a consumer of art, that, and I think Amy's getting at this, it can be pretty hard to know what I might even enjoy, much less where the art is showing, that sort of thing. So often you'll just walk by something at an art center and say, oh, that's really interesting. How come I didn't know about this? And so we do consider that a part of our role to help people engage. And in fact, a project that we've been working on for many, many years, and we're still partners on it, is Portal Wisconsin. You might hear the announcements once in a while running portalwisconsin.org, which also, in addition to having way more listings than we could get on the radio for art gallery openings and so on, has an online art gallery itself. So you can even get a feeling for what a particular artist's work might be and decide that you'd really like to see more. So that's also worth checking out, portalwisconsin.org.
Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. We have an open line for you. If you have a question for Mike about things you hear or don't hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So, Mike, what can you tell us about Wisconsin Life and the audio essay series that we hear on Wisconsin Public Radio on the NPR News and Classical Music Network during Morning Edition in particular? I also play it on Friday mornings at 6:35 on the Joy Cardine Show. But I understand that we might see some episodes of Wisconsin Life sometime in the future.
That's right. For people that are just to hear that, well, what is that? If you have a chance, look at wisconsinlife.org. This is where we collect all of these essays, and there's some really nice photos that go with it and so on. It's a series that touches on all kinds of aspects of life in Wisconsin. Sometimes it's kind of like an audio essay where there's sound that we've recorded that helps tell the story. Sometimes it's just a straight essay. And as you might expect, there are some incredible visuals in Wisconsin. And so we'd been chatting with our colleagues down the hall at Wisconsin Public Television for a long time because they've been thinking of a show to replace the one that they retired about a year ago called In Wisconsin. They wanted to do a new series about being in Wisconsin, and they wanted to partner with us, which we're really excited about. And we're hoping that we may have a couple of pilot episodes of the Wisconsin Life TV show sometime this summer. It's still in development from a TV perspective. We also think there's a lot more we can do. Not only can we find and create and broadcast and put on the web essays that we're looking for, but I think there's a lot of promise for people to submit their own. And that's an area that we just haven't gotten into yet. But so many people have something good to say and that it would be nice to share with our fellow Wisconsinites.
Yeah, very nice series. Let's go next to Robin in Lake Delton. Hello, Robin.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I am not a TV watcher, so I'm a heavy public radio listener, and I would put in a vote for, as a previous caller talked about, not having repeat programming, having something new every hour. But my question is, in the last 4 to 6 weeks, I've been noticing that there's dead air or there's static, or there's two programs playing at the same time on the same channel, and I'm wondering what that's about.
Yeah, there are a couple of different things. Thanks for asking, Robin, and there was another person who emailed about that, so I was eager to get to it, so here we are. There are a couple of things going on. One is that whenever we change something from a technical standpoint, there's a risk that something might go west. And an example, I don't know if this is the one you were talking about, but there was a point during our pledge drive on Saturday morning where there for about 3 or 4 minutes, there was a newscast playing at the same time as the scheduled pledge program. And we just – it was a human error that as it turns out, because the system is complex, it was hard to get it figured out and get it back to rights, but we did. So that's one thing, is that there are human errors that occur. The other is that we've been in the midst of a very big transition technically that – it's going to save WPR literally hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to have made this transition from our old broadcast interconnect, which ties all of our stations together, to a new one. But one of the things that comes along with essentially computerizing that effort is that there are really complex things that I almost feel like I'm talking to physicists when the engineers talk about this. They're so incredibly knowledgeable about these things. But there are things where it can make a difference whether something is timed even, you know, hundredths of a second different than another thing as it distributes around the network. And we've had more than our share of problems as we've been working all of that through. And it's a disappointment to us here. We know it's a disappointment to listeners when they hear things. So we are really working diligently to get the bugs out of that system. And it's just, it turns out to be very complex. In a way, it's kind of like a private internet that is sharing our audio around the state. And thank you for the reports. In fact, once in a while, this has turned out that the first report we have of a problem might be from a listener. So it's okay to call audience services and leave a message about what you noticed. If it's after hours or if it's during the day, just let them know and they will let the engineers know right away. Because operating a system of 34 stations, we don't have people at every station, so we don't always hear things right away.
Yeah, if you have feedback for audience services, the number that I have memorized is 1-800-747-7444. So you can always ask a question or provide some feedback to audience services. You don't have to wait for Mondays with Mike. 1-800-747-7444. And our next caller is Phil in Crystal Lake. Hello, Phil.
Hello. Thank you. I just have a technical question. Long-time listener, and I contribute to your program. And as far as I know, you're a nonprofit station.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
But yes, but nevertheless, you have as many breaks as any commercial station to tell us about Larry Miller and et cetera all during a program. And it's kind of irritating after a while to have a guest interrupted because you just have to take a break. And I'm just wondering, do you have to take a break, and why so many breaks for a nonprofit station?
Yeah, and I would say that we are a nonprofit station, but we rely ever more heavily on individual and corporate support. And so one of the things is that we are required to recognize that support by the FCC. So every time you hear support for Wisconsin Public Radio is provided by the name of a company and something about that company, that's because the FCC regulations require us to announce that we're doing that, and that has turned into a source of real income for WPR that we're able to do that. It's about 7 or 8% of our budget, and so in that sense, we do have to take the breaks. The other thing is that it has arisen out of a kind of a standard or a convenience that is true of anything that's networked, and that is that at a minimum, stations around the country, let's say it's an NPR show, want the opportunity to do their local announcements and their local identification. And then we just basically mimic that as something for our statewide broadcast, because when someone in Milwaukee is hearing one announcement, someone else in Eau Claire might be hearing a different announcement that relates to a local arts group or to a local business, that sort of thing. So that's the basic pattern. And I suppose you're right as far as the number of interruptions, that it's somewhat similar to some commercial stations, although I know, just thinking of my television watching these days, that there are times when it seems like nearly a half hour out of an hour is commercials, and I've read about it, and that's about right in some cases. So the amount of content that we get in while still being able to do what we're required and to thank the businesses for their support is kind of the pattern that we've developed.
Yeah. Just, for example, during this hour, Phil, you heard, an underwriting announcement after the news at 8:06. You did hear a promo and an underwriting announcement at 20 after the hour. You heard another underwriting announcement and a promo at 20 to the hour. But that's three less than a minute little breaks.
And don't forget the top of the hour.
At the top of the hour. When the program ends, the program will end. Right. There will be another one, yes.
Yeah, and that's actually those time points you described are exactly the pattern that, say, NPR's weekend shows have. It's sort of not written in stone, but it's a very typical pattern for public radio shows.
And it's important to tell people what Larry Mueller is doing, right?
Well, yes, for this reason, which mm-hmm. is that for people that listen a ton, they probably don't need that because they're just leaving the radio on. But the average listener listens for less than an hour a day. And so it is very important for us to try to entice them to tune back in. Maybe they leave for a couple hours, and if they think, I really want to hear what's on Talk of the Nation today because they heard the promo for it, then that might have been very valuable. And more listening leads to membership support, which is nearly 40% of our support. And that's how that equation mm-hmm. works.
Thanks, Phil. Peggy in Pittsville is with us now. Hi, Peggy.
Hi. I want to talk about Higher Ground.
Sure.
It is an amazing program, and I think it should have a national presence, and it doesn't.
Yeah. This is something that we talk about not only for Higher Ground, but for so many things that we do. As you may know, we have three shows that are on nationally. And the problem is that the marketplace for such shows is not robust. In fact, we've been very challenged with our three shows that the new charge for such things is free. We've seen some of our stations drop to the best of our knowledge, or what do you know, because there's something else out there that's free, whereas we charge different prices depending on the audience size, that sort of thing. And so the best we can mostly do for national or even international is hope that people find us on the internet. And so I'll certainly suggest, Peggy, that you let everybody know, because you're right, it's a treasure. And Jonathan actually, one of the things that he does periodically is that he goes on a trip that he learns a lot more about the music of an area and then brings that back into the show. And he just got back from Cuba, as he says. Mm-hmm. We might say Cuba, but he says it like it would be in Spanish, Cuba. And went with 30 students connected with one of the UW colleges, and just really wonderful. The information that Jonathan and all the students from UW-Waukesha that went along with him are going to be able to have in their lives, and in the case of Higher Ground, in our life. So thanks so much for that comment, Peggy.
Well, we have just a minute or so to go, Mike. Is there anything else that's happening at Wisconsin Public Radio that we need to talk about?
Well, happening at or happening associated with, mm-hmm. We have the program on Friday evenings, The Moth. Mm-hmm. And there's a Moth Story Slam every month in Milwaukee. The next one is this coming Thursday. It's at the Miramar Theater. And there's always a theme. The theme this month is detours. And so what you do is the doors open, storyteller hopefuls put their names in a hat, and then a half hour later, names are picked, and one by one, they take the stage, and they call it a story slam. And we really encourage people to consider going to that. If you're thinking you might like an evening in Milwaukee and you don't live there even, go. It's really great. And some of those people that tell the stories at the story slams around the country do end up on the Moth Radio Show eventually.
That sounds like fun. Well, you know what, Mike? The first Monday of April, do you know what day that is?
Is it April Fool's?
Yes, it is. So let's
we'll change format.
No joke. If nothing comes up, Mike Crane will join us again for another Mondays with Mike on April 1st. So thanks a lot for being here.
Always a pleasure.
And
thanks,
again,
everybody.
If you have any more feedback, you can call Audience Services 1-800-747-7444. You can also go to WPR.org and email us. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.